Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Isn't this a sports show?
I hope those people that listen to the entire show get the full experience. Super serious Tyreek Hill stuff. First hour and a half.
Yep.
Last 10 minutes, Josh had his underwear on backwards.
Almost entirely.
I was in Las Vegas for like 20 minutes, and I did get naked in the Las Vegas airport.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Not completely naked. I was sort of Winnie the Poohing.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Joshua Briscoe here for Joshua Briscoe's Twitter account at JB Briscoe. You can follow Joshua Briscoe on Twitter at JB Briscoe. This has been a commercial. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. MVP-ness! Ha ha ha!
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You could ask a question right now. Might even be a good question, which is, did Josh forget to grab the party poppers because it's Wednesday?
No.
And did they not have the way we usually celebrate Chiefs victories around here because Josh forgot about the party poppers until right this second, literally as the microphones were coming on?
I would say no, because like Patrick Mahomes, like Travis Kelce, like the Chiefs, we realize, you know what? It doesn't matter. We're on to the next one. We don't celebrate past achievements. We're looking ahead.
Rudy, this is something we have said most shows in 2022 so far, but you and I may need to just spend time around other people.
I could use another vacation.
Because that was genuinely the excuse that I was going to use. Like, I was going to let that be the open if I had to explain it to you. If I had to also convince you, much like the beloved audience, that no, I didn't actually forget, I just wasn't going to dwell on a victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've moved on. Steve Spagnuolo right now is at home or at Arrowhead, and he doesn't even know what day it is. He doesn't even remember that game happening.
If you want, I did find one back here, actually.
A party popper?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and pop them. Yeah, sure, let's celebrate. Okay.
Where the children come from? See, the children are happy. That's the mascots.
Oh, good. I like that.
Okay, I'll pop mine now.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Whoops. The mascots celebrate.
We have not had to lose that particular analog form of this show for any reason yet, right? At every turn when we have ultimately wanted to do party poppers, we have been able to do party poppers. I definitely did some from my office at home at the peak of the pandemic whenever we were, no one really knew what at all was going on. But I think that in an increasingly digital world, that particular crispy, royalty-free MP3 file that you just found, party popper that you actually pulled?
Yeah.
That might be a winner.
We just need to remember to replace it because I went into Jake's stash, and obviously I don't want to make him mad. So
no.
We just need to make sure the Border Patrol. We take one of our party poppers. Give it to the Border Patrol. Everything will be fine.
Now a potty popper, I think we should explore as just a business idea. I'm not sure exactly what it would be, but it feels like
TM,
a product.
TM.
Yep, intellectual property. Of myself, Joshua Briscoe, and Rudy Joseph Salazar. That's Joseph, right?
Nailed it.
Is that in a display name somewhere? Is that on your Facebook or something?
Bible, biblical name. Yeah. My Facebook, I think, is like my full name.
I knew that pretty confidently.
I'm pretty confident about it.
Sure, it's out there somewhere. I don't remember anything.
I wanted it to be my Twitter handle, but they said it was too long. Not that Rudy Joseph Salazar. Also doesn't play as well.
No, it does get confusing.
Not as famous of a Rudy Joseph Salazar out there.
There's a real good chance that you're the most famous Rudy Joseph Salazar.
Possible. There is a Rudy Salazar who is a years ago, and I was trying to get RudySalazar.com. It's taken by a I believe he is Mexican. I might be wrong. Might be Guatemalan, but I believe a Central American, a film director. who has done, I believe, horse movies might be his specialty, if I remember right.
Interesting.
It's been a while since I've been to his page.
Well, I will encourage this. If you Google, we'll talk about a lot of Chiefs things here in a little bit. Kent Swanson of KCSN will join us in like 15 minutes, and then we're going to end the show tonight with Jordan Foote, both of Arrowhead Report, as you may have known him first, and of Sports Radio 810, which is how you can know him now. If you Google Rudy Salazar, here's what you get.
I see a decent amount of my own stuff, which surprises me a little bit.
Rudy on Twitter, this Rudy. Rudy Salazar's LinkedIn. A Rudy Salazar Facebook search. An old byline for Rudy Salazar writing for KC Kingdom.
A long time ago. I was in college, though.
And then a headline that reads this from denver.cbslocal.com.
I hate the first photo. I mean, that is an old photo. It's not a flattering photo.
There are two real winners on this page. One of them is the picture that comes up. It is an older photo of Rudy.
It's not flattering at all. Hey, here's the thing, man. I was still trying to figure out what to do with basically all of this.
Yeah, the hair,
I didn't really
the facial
know
hair.
What was going on here? I've got it figured out now, but in 2016, I didn't know. 2015, whenever that photo was from, I didn't know what I was doing.
It looked like someone's first LinkedIn headshot that they took with a selfie camera.
Yeah, when they were like still in college and you're just like, this is a bad idea.
Trying to be professional, but it's not your final form.
It's so bad.
You can also read this story, though, at denver.cbslocal.com. Rudy Salazar accused of stealing tow truck, ramming multiple drivers.
I was framed.
A Weld County man faces several charges after police say he stole a tow truck on Monday and crashed into multiple vehicles, including one driven by a Greeley police sergeant. Rudy Salazar, 37, was eventually arrested after officers say he crashed into the security gate control panel to the Greeley Police Department headquarters. This was in June 2021. You did say that you went on a vacation right around then.
I did.
Less of a, not a traditional vacation, I guess.
I did find the IMDb page of the famous Rudy Salazar.
Yes.
Most recently was a writer on the movie Anaheim, the film.
Has he ever stolen a tow truck? This is weird because
the directed it.
The first words in this headline are Rudy Salazar. And usually that's something you say whenever you get I don't know why this is the first name, but if the headline was Jason Bateman accused of stealing tow truck, ramming multiple drivers, I'd be like, oh, wow.
Normally it's Colorado man.
Yeah.
Steals truck.
Local man, Denver man, Colorado man, Florida man in Colorado. This one is, nope, this one is, just Google it, the SEO, they got it figured out on this one. Just Google Rudy Salazar and scroll a little bit. You're going to get mostly R, Rudy. You will eventually get what I am proclaiming, the Rudy.
I found my SoundCloud page.
Oh, yeah?
Not mine, actually, but there is a Rudy Salazar SoundCloud.
Oh, this was your KC Kingdom headshot, by the way, Rudy. I've clicked on the picture.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't have enough pixels to be as embarrassing as you might think.
Well, that's good.
Because you look at it long enough, and eventually your face turns to, fractals. I didn't know that you were the Associate Director of Stewardship Ministries for the North American Division of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, it was a different time.
Yeah. That's a curveball, but good to know, you know?
I also apparently work at Target.
If any of their middle names are Joseph, we're gonna have to have a battle. But warehouse worker at Target. All right. There is a Rudy Jesse Salazar here.
I did see that, yeah.
So you might not be the top RJ, Rudy J. Salazar, I guess.
I do believe it was an obituary. He died in the war. Which makes him already better than me.
Yeah.
As the better RJ Salazar, for sure.
Yeah. Personally, that's where I would leave that commentary, I think, is just sort of, I think you can wave the white flag there for, it says, wow, that is kind of strange, though. So on the Vietnam veterans wall of faces. It says wall name is Rudy J. Salazar. It would be kind of bonkers to be at a place like that and to see your name, including your middle initial, on the wall.
Like, wait a second.
That would be... Yeah, that... That would be kind of bonkers, actually.
I found a Rudy Salazar, who's the assistant professor, or was, he's retired now, at UTHSCSA. He's a Filipino martial arts master instructor, so watch out, world. I have 50 years of martial arts experience.
So
I know judo, shodokan, kuntao, salat, and fencing.
Wow! Fencing, huh? Is that a martial art? I guess
it's in here.
I guess it could be. I've never really thought about it that way.
It does say in parentheses, the European art of swordplay.
You know what I thought was artful this week?
Not the first quarter of the Chiefs game?
The second quarter of the Chiefs game is actually where I was going to go. Yeah. So that's Rudy Salazar, as you may have picked up. Just not that one, or that one. He's this one. He's not that Rudy, which should be clear. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Well, we will talk to Kent Swanson about if he is the most famous Kent Swanson, and also what he saw from Chiefs Steelers and what he's expecting from Chiefs Bengals.
Whenever I go to type in Kent Swanson on the old Twitter, he's frequently not the first person that pops up.
Oh, really?
I think it's because of the underscore. Because there is an at Kent Swanson, and he's at Kent underscore Swanson.
Good point. That's a good point.
Quickly, though, Jason on Facebook has his 10-year-old wants to know why you have a dolphin.
Great question. I'm sorry, I can't see the username. Who was the name of this person?
Jason.
Jason, thank you, Jason.
Not our Jason.
No,
our other Jason.
What about our Jason?
But not that Jason.
At not that Jason. So the entire array of mascots that we have around here is something that started with Dick Justice, the wiener dog, and Aggravated Kitten, the non-officially licensed...
R.I.P.
Yeah, well, no, Grumpy Cat has passed. Aggravated Kitten is alive and well and here with us. But it really just sort of spiraled, and there's a number of stories from a number of different people have contributed in different ways, including this stabby snowman. There's lots of good stuff. But there are two dolphins, actually. The big dolphin over here, I believe, was a sort of a joint effort from my mom and sister, if memory serves. In terms of, dolphins in Florida and whatnot, sent one. Maybe our beefiest of the mascots. The little purple dolphin is on my microphone, and this was a delivery from Danny Wilniak of KCTV5. She brought the purple dolphin, and I just sit it right here on my microphone. It just sort of sits there and adds another place for you. What's that little secret mascot? Little purple dolphin. Asked and answered. Thank you and shout out to all the 10-year-olds who are with this show. I think there's a liner that says this, may intro Kent, I don't know, we'll see if Rudy can find it. But there's something along the lines of, I just want dogs and kids to generally approve of this show. Everything after that is gravy. But I think from an audio and visual standpoint, we've got the child and pet sort of quadrant locked down.
Jason says thank you.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you to your 10-year-old, who I'm sure has a name.
We don't want to put that out there necessarily.
Great point.
Weird people are
super,
on the internet, man.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I just would have said their name, but I don't know it. But thank you to 10-year-old Jason. Mini Jason. Don't name your kid. Don't name your kid Minnie your name. One of the most famous rodents in history literally is named Minnie Mouse. So what do I know, I guess?
His dad, Mr. Mouse, was like, you Major Mouse. It's like, you can't, you're not there yet.
No, no.
You gotta earn that title.
Maxa Mouse, not available. Anyway, so shout out to Maylee. it looks like. That's also from Jason, right? All of the Facebook comments say empty username, so I wanted to make sure it wasn't.
It is Jason.
Shout out to Maley. Also, Ice Pyre on Twitch says, Tucker approves of this show. I haven't asked Spartan yet. Those are dogs that Ice Pyre is also sending us pictures of each show, which also makes me very, very happy. So appreciate that. Aspen said, that Tucker, not that Tucker. Exactly. I'm glad we could really clear that up. Obviously, we talked about Chiefs-Steelers a ton in the post-game show, which also went up on the AES podcast feed. So there's a decent chance you may have heard my sort of out-of-the-gate takes on where Chiefs-Steelers ended up. We'll look ahead to Chiefs-Bills a ton of the show today, I'm sure, and obviously the rest of the week. But the one place that I would isolate on Chiefs-Steelers really quick is that, and this is, I mean, framing it in a way that could not be more self-congratulatory, but not just for the purpose of me telling you how right I was. I think the first quarter was a perfect microcosm of what I was afraid that game very well could include, and also can be very instructive for what happens this weekend. Coming into the game, somewhere around midweek last week, we started having that conversation of when have the Chiefs made their mistakes? When have they turned the ball over and then ultimately lost games on the backs of those sorts of mistakes? That type of thing. The thing that we all became very familiar with earlier in the season, where you see a crazy mistake or a crazy drop and ricochet or whatever, and you go, oh, that is Chiefs football right now, not just all the super fun stuff or all of the Chiefs-related trauma you may have had from the 90s and earlier 2000s, or frankly, even, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, I guess. We knew that was still on the table. I told you last week that I didn't feel like the Chiefs were somehow infallible or unbeatable because we know better at this point. There is still a world where they get some bad drops and bad bounces and a bad penalty, and all of a sudden what should have ended up being three touchdown drives or two touchdown drives and a kick return touchdown end up in no points and setting up the other team in their own red zone once. Something like that, a wild turnover. But what I told you last week is that I just don't... It's not that I didn't think the Chiefs could have that happen. I didn't think the Steelers would be capable of capitalizing enough on those mistakes and those issues, those bad bounces, if they were to happen. And again, I'll tear my rotator cuff, pat myself on the back here if you let me, but that's exactly what happened in that first quarter. That first quarter had an incredible play by an incredible player batting the ball up into the air and getting picked off. It had a terrible decision to punt on 4th and 1 from midfield. Not 4th and 6! 4th and 1. It had the offense stall out. It had your various little miscues or misplays, poor execution or poor choices, a variety of things and a variety of largely smallish things. And then also another play that was not so incredible that turned directly into points for the Steelers. You know, the pick was batted up and picked off. The scoop and score was off of probably more of a Darrell Williams mistake than a Mecole Hardman one in retrospect. But, you know, that play gives the Steelers a touchdown. All of those mistakes and that exact sequence, and if you want to pick three possessions ending when they shouldn't have, you can absolutely take it on the pick, the fumble, and that punt on 4th and 1. Those are three instances where the Chiefs gave up a free possession, not to even account for the three and out that opened the game or the punt later on where they ended up punting on whatever it was, 4th and 8 from midfield. And even that, you know, they got put behind the sticks because of an incomplete pass and then a 2-yard little scramble. Wasn't it enough? Anyway, if that exact first quarter would have gotten copy and pasted against the Bills the first time, the Chiefs still would have lost that game dramatically. In fact, it kind of felt that way. If this first quarter is copy and pasted against the Bills this weekend, the Chiefs will lose. I really do believe that. The Texans' comeback should make you believe the Chiefs are capable of literally anything. The way that the rest of the game went in the second quarter and third quarter, especially against the Steelers, should remind you that they're still capable of just about anything. But I respect the Bills too much to say that a series of not just being shut out, but of big mistakes and big miscues and really, like, offensive incompetence through a quarter and 5 minutes. The Bills playing something even close to their best football is making that game 21-0 by the end of the first quarter and not tied at zero. So the Chiefs can't replicate that this weekend. They will lose the game. I don't think they will make exactly those mistakes. And I think they know their margin for error is smaller than it was last week. That makes sense. The playoffs continue. You play better teams. They played the 7 seed. Now they're going to play the 3 seed. That just about makes sense to me. And that is by no means a prediction or a place where I'm telling you to lower your expectations for this game or anything like that. As of right now, I narrowly think the Chiefs are the better team. I narrowly think that they will play better football on Sunday. I've got a lot of time to change my mind. But that's sort of where I am starting, off of a high of what the second, what the middle quarters of that game looked like. Even if the Chiefs are just okay and then have that, they'll beat anybody, literally anybody in the NFL. But they can't be a big pile of mistakes against a better team that's more likely to capitalize on those mistakes. That was the dynamic coming into this game. For me this week, the dynamic I think is going to be still about the mistakes, the self-inflicted wounds, the unforced errors. But this time it's going to be about keeping an eye on those things against a team that is much better suited to capitalize on them than the Steelers were. We'll talk about that and what we saw from the Steelers, what we'll see from the Bills, and a lot more with Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network and the KC Laboratory Podcast whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Thank goodness you can tweet me at JB Briscoe, or you can comment on the Facebook page with something like Pickle Rick 2020, or you can tweet me and talk about how much you hate your dumb kids.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Before we get to the one and only Kent Swanson, in fact, I'll make this his first question, so Kent, go ahead and stay on your toes here, because I'm starting with a Twitch comment that we got from Dillard during the break, and I just want to talk about this for a second. Dillard says, watching while soaking my new Russian tortoise, need names for him, people. So I'm not pretending to have an answer. I'm not saying that Rudy or Kent should have an answer right now. I'm saying you listening right now should have an answer. I'm saying that if you think you have one, you should bring that up. You could tweet it at me, I guess. Go get it in the Twitch comments, because I'm going to spend some time thinking about that. In the meantime, we'll talk to Kent Swanson. He's our filler while we come up with good names.
I kind of like Yuri.
Yuri?
Y-U-R-I.
That's from, no, that's Ori, I think, from the video game.
Yeah, that's Ori.
What is Yuri?
Ori's
Does Yuri mean something?
I mean, it's just a Russian name.
Okay, very good. I'll get Kent's answer after I tell you where he's from. He's on Twitter, @Kent_Swanson. You can get all of his work throughout the KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. The Substack is kcsn.substack.com. You can go to kcsportsnetwork.com if you want to get a t-shirt, which is totally legal and normal now.
Donatello.
Ooh, man, the Ninja Turtle options are probably kind of obvious,
pretty
but
good.
I do like those.
I don't know if there are, like, Russian Ninja Turtles, but if that exists.
And also, tortoise specifically, not turtle, I don't know.
True.
I don't know, but Kent, what would you name a new Russian tortoise?
I'm looking up Russian painters right now.
Ooh.
In keeping with, you know, with the turtles. So I don't have a good one, though.
Okay.
Did you know that they grow to be 8 to 10 inches long, though?
You know what? I actually would have guessed bigger, because I just think of tortoises as being gigantic, you know?
I thought it was 8 to 10 feet, and then I looked a little closer. I did the thing that you do during every single segment I have with you ever, where I'm just sitting on Google.
Yeah.
Just Googling every single subject that we discussed, and that's what came up. I don't know. Ivan, Ilya, it's got to be a Russian name. Like, I'm just too fixated on that.
Yeah.
Mikhail?
We could keep it Svi wasn't Russian, but it's obviously Eastern European name.
Sviatoslav is a very still. Yeah, I think
keep
sounds
it
good.
Topical. Like in our commercial break, Alexei Red Guardian MCU. He was the Russian Captain America.
That's pretty good.
Alexei's a pretty good name.
You guys are very in the Russian vein of it, which I think is the right place to be. But just to kind of keep the ideas moving, I'm trying to think of big, hulking, barely moving, like Roethlisberger or something. I'm just throwing out. That's kind of German, I think. So that might not. I don't know why that word even came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you could go with like you call him Tank. Something like that. That's kind of plagiarism. I think that's one of Maddie Lane's pigs, actually.
Right.
Just something in that vein where you're just, the juxtaposition there.
Rasputin would be pretty good.
Rasputin is pretty good. Twitch comments just real quick here. Out of tat tat. Darth Tortuga, Todka, Tucker, Kwamatsu, Francis, Steve, Squirtle, Popov, Shura, and Poe.
Poe would be a good one.
Poe's a great one.
That works.
It sounded like when you were reading off the names, you ended with Poe. It just sounded like you were about to break out in the Teletubbies theme song.
Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, or Poe? Pick one. Move on. Wow, I
what
know
Squirtle, Popov, Shura,
I
or
knew,
Poe.
I knew all four Teletubbies at the drop of a hat. I did not have to Google that.
Yikes.
I almost sang
What about Dentari?
Ooh.
It's not bad.
Like, the first name might be better than Poe. Just Dentari.
What if you named it Craig Stout?
tortoises are kind of slow and... So,
bald?
There is that.
Bald?
You know?
I guess.
Bald,
no, there's nothing.
Old? They live to be 100, 200 years old. And, Craig is, he's up there. He's in the triple digits.
There's nothing about Craig that ever has struck me as particularly tortoise-ish, for the record. I am just super into the idea of you naming it someone else's legal name and then maybe having to play it off like, I didn't even think of it. Oh, man, yeah, you guys have the same name. That's crazy. It's like you named it Rudy Joseph Salazar.
It would make my Twitter handle make even more sense because I'm not that Rudy. Aspen says Batman.
See, that might be in some copyright territory. I don't know.
I think it's fine. You just can't profit off that turtle. You are taking away the turtle's NIL right away.
There's no NILs in his future. That's just a bummer.
Are you the most famous Kent Swanson, as far as you know? We had this conversation earlier. This isn't a total non-sequitur.
I have no idea. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna Google Kent Swanson really quick and let's see what happens.
Fun of Googling mid-conversation. Go ahead. There are a number of Kent Swansons on Twitter, and of course, as Rudy pointed out, you're Kent_Swanson.
So I tried to get the name without the underscore one.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, hit the guy up, and I was like, hey, man. Because he doesn't use Twitter. It's some guy in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A few pictures of his son's rec hockey league.
Yep.
And that's about it. He's like probably in his 30s, 40s, but he looks like he's about to go to prom in his picture sitting in front of a truck.
He really does.
You're on it, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I hit him up at one point. I was like, hey, man, you don't use this. So I would love to remove that underscore from my name. Nothing ever came of it. So it looks like there's a video game character.
Yes. Can I read this?
So... Hold on. I think we've done this before. It just hit me just now. I have not Googled this. I think we did this on ESPN Kansas City one day many, many years ago. And I think it's a character from GTA or something.
Dead Rising, which is the zombie GTA.
Okay.
I just like
the... We absolutely did this. Let's do it again.
I just want to read the opening sentence. It's all I need. Kent Swanson is a psychopath appearing in Dead Rising and a zombie in Dead Rising, chop till you drop.
Yes!
I mean, I came back from the dead.
You did! You fulfilled the prophecy! You did it! You were a psychopath on ESPN Kansas City, and you're a zombie here on 810 with us.
That, oh my, that is eerie. That is weird. Well, tell me more about this character's fate. I need to know what I need to prepare for. It doesn't sound like things go very well.
Well, he was an incredibly jealous photographer.
Oh.
I know that about him.
Yep, he was. I'm also. It's loading pretty slowly. Yes, I remember the face of this man with perfect clarity now. Of this character, he's got very tall hair, but like just sort of the chin strap beard. So you're already starting off better than that. His notebook description is a cocky young photographer.
Ah, yes, me, the famed picture taker.
His main attack is the jump kick. Jump kick guy.
I'll send you the photo that I've got here, Kent, and you can make this your Twitter avatar, just sort of at your convenience. I would say quickly would be nice.
Oh, no.
So not only does Kent become a zombie, he's a zombie that can speak. I mean, yeah, that seems pretty impressive.
Right. I mean, that checks out. I mean, I'm talking right now, so has anybody ever played Dead Rising? Like this I've never played this game. So.
Me neither.
I don't
all the people listening on Twitch are probably very upset with me right now. I just painted with a broad brush, I know, but
no, it's all right. Those are the nerdazoids over there. You're right, man. Roast them. Roast our beloved Twitch watchers and listeners.
Apparently,
the ones who love you most. Ask what if they've ever played Dead Rising in their mom's basement. Kent, go ahead.
Apparently, Ken Swanson resembles a real life infomercial pitchman Vince Offer.
Is that the slap chop guy?
Let's find out.
I think that's the slap chop guy.
I'm clicking on Vince Offer.
Oh.
It's loading.
ShamWow?
Yes.
ShamWow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. ShamWow. Yep.
The guy who once famously said the phrase, "You're going to love my nuts."
Didn't he go to jail?
I believe so. So I'm going to just go. I think he bit a woman's tongue. Maybe
what?
Off. Or she bit his tongue. I think there was tongue biting.
There was definitely something weird.
There was something tongue bite related, and I believe a woman of some sort.
The woman,
yep,
I'm reading it now.
Yep, Miami.
No, you go, Rudy. You
in
go.
Miami Beach, Florida, offering a 26-year-old worker. The police report stated that the woman had been on to Offer's tongue, refused to let go, at which point Offer began beating her and left her with lacerations and fractures.
We do a hell of a job taking bits up until the point they're funny and then failing to pull back right before we know it's about to stop being funny.
When Offer later spoke of the arrest, he stated, "Probably saved my life."
Huh.
I thought he went to jail. They said he was never charged, so I'm...
He got married after this.
Good for him, I guess.
They're divorced.
Oh.
Only lasted for a little over 4 years.
That's almost a presidential term. That's a long time.
Oh, this did get dark and weird very quickly. I wish Rudy would have read the full paragraph on Wikipedia before he spoke it out
loud.
Yeah, it's
not fun.
Okay. You know, it's all right. It happens.
He sued the Church of Scientology.
I was just about to say the phrase. He used to be a Scientologist, but he got out apparently. Yeah, that might be that's our New Year's resolution, Rudy. I think we should all have January, you know, to find out what your resolution really needs to be. Maybe our AES New Year's resolution is that we're gonna try to pull up right before we crash into the ground on a bit.
Sound fun.
Just vet your bits once, please.
I just feel like, what is this show with vetted bits, you know? Like...
That's fair.
What if I would have texted you right before you came on, like, "Hey, just so you know, we're going to ask you about Russian tortoise names, and
we're gonna rabbit hole into ShamWow guys."
Yeah, that's a sentence I wish you wouldn't have said, but or just said differently. Would you mind saving that for me, Rudy? I think that might be funny in the future. Thanks, I really appreciate that. So. I was the first one to say the name of a football player in this episode. I do want to make in this segment.
Pope.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. I said Roethlisberger. I was gonna. I'll go back to the tortoise for the. You know what tortoises can't do? Fun fact: tortoises can't blink. Neither can Mike Tomlin. Also, I'm not sure that's true about tortoises. I made it up, but it
Are
sounded
you
funny.
Sure that's true about Mike Tomlin?
No, he said if you're going to blink, cut off your eyelids. That man does not blink. He does not blink, even down by 35 points or whatever they got down by at one point. I'm going to just – there's not a good segue here, and we're just going to talk about the Chiefs now because that's where the bit ended.
Have you seen this Matt Castle, Dwayne Bowe tweet?
What? Is this the one about Dwayne Bowe wanting Patrick Mahomes?
So Matt Castle just quote tweeted it like an hour ago. He's like, just seeing this. I'm just trying to take the kids sledding. I'm catching strays. Sheesh. You buying dinner next time I see you for this. And then you have like the crying laughing emoji.
Yes. Fun fact. Go ahead, Kent.
Fun fact about Matt Castle. You can find him on the KC Sports Network YouTube.
You're so right.
Breaking down film. There's a transition there. I got that.
As soon as Rudy said Matt Castle, I thought we made it. We're home. You can. Matt Castle is doing work with KC Sports Network on the KC Sports Network YouTube channel. Tell me something you've learned from Matt Castle. And then we'll talk about the games we just saw.
I learned that they always had kind of a slant for Dwayne Bowe live on their pass concept or on their run concepts. So sometimes Matt Castle would just stand up and throw a slant to Dwayne Bowe. I don't know if he would throw a slant to Dwayne Bowe now based on the conversations that we're seeing on Twitter right now. But that is something I learned. They kind of had their pre-snap RPOs before RPOs were a thing. So there you go.
That's fun. I love that. Yeah. And I really enjoyed the Matt Castle Dwayne Bowe connection. I hope this doesn't strain.
The Dwayne Bowe connection. Did you do that on purpose?
No, I actually didn't. I did have a fantasy team. I definitely did name my fantasy team somewhere over Dwayne Bowe at least once.
Same.
Everyone did.
Yeah. My sadder one was my team that was named the Killer Bees in honor of Dwayne Bowe, Steve Breston, and John Baldwin. We've talked about that before, and that takes us to a much darker place in Chiefs history where we were, like, I was pretty excited about Steve Breston. So... shout out to him, I guess. Let's talk about the better days, which are the ones that we're currently living in. Tell me where you were at approximately 20 minutes in the Chiefs Steelers. Somewhere around, I don't know, let's say a Wildcat play gone wrong turned into a Steelers touchdown. Where were you at 7-0?
It felt like the Broncos game to me. Like, I was emotionless. It sounds weird to say, but, like, I just didn't have a ton of doubt that that team was going to figure it out, and I didn't really have a ton of takeaways that were really going to change my opinion about this football team when I was watching. It was kind of weird. But, I mean, it kind of played out. It proved itself to be true. Yep. As soon as that play happened, the Chiefs snapped out of it and went 5 straight touchdowns and 5 straight possessions and went absolutely bonkers. But, yeah, I don't know. It never felt like there was a chance that the Steelers were going to win, and it just never really felt like it had a ton of, you know, value or importance to me, honestly. And that sounds bad as an analyst, but that's just how I felt.
No, I think it's interesting because you said something outrageously similar when I asked you last week about the Broncos game. And I went back because I was cutting up specials and stuff for the weekend, and it was funny because for me that Wednesday last week was sort of the turning point to where I started trying to build the case of how could I be worried about the Steelers. And my end result was basically, what if it looks like the Broncos game and a combination of the Broncos game and some of the mistakes they made earlier in the season? And that is exactly what happened in that first quarter. My takeaway, though, leading up to the game over the course of the week, was that I still don't think the Steelers had a path to being genuinely threatening to the Chiefs through that path, right? Like, that it didn't matter if the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot a whole bunch of times. The Steelers were not equipped to actually turn that into enough points. So I also would say that probably panned out. Before I go back to the rest of the Steelers game, does that line of thinking now, does that give you anything to be scared of with the Bills? How nervous are you about a slow start or some sloppy mistakes? Obviously, we have to acknowledge the fact that the Chiefs were fabulous for the remaining three quarters of the game.
Oh, I mean, you nailed it on the head. I mean, and the narrative, and I think I even tweeted this out at one point during the game, it's like, I mean, the things that when the Chiefs are going wrong, the things that happen are turnovers in the red zone, turnovers that lead to touchdowns, defensive, like those kind of things. Those were the things that happened. It came with two, you know, players that, you know, maybe don't like, I guess, like, you know, Darrell Williams and Mecole Hardman are the guys that are getting a ton of touches. They aren't guys that are, you know, you're considering your top shelf players. They're making those mistakes. And some of the secondary, you know, players in this offensive skill set group are the ones making those mistakes. Those are the kind of things that have come back to bite the Chiefs in the past. You know, plus territory turnover, Mahomes throwing the ball off of TJ Watt's head, sure, a little bit fluky. The botched snap exchange on the on the direct snap play to Mecole Hardman. Those are the things that have haunted this football team in the dark days of the 2021 season. You saw the polar opposite of it, obviously, towards the end of the game. But they can, I mean, of course, they cannot afford to have those kind of turnovers. They cannot afford that in this game. But it's also like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't expect that. I don't expect that to be the problem for that team this week.
Mm. Why?
I think I have a lot of thoughts, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's something to be said about how much this team has been through, how many games this team has played, how numb they probably are in some ways to the process, in some mm-hmm. way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And I think they've come to the brink literally the last 2 years. They have played every football game imaginable you can. They've got all the way to the Super Bowl the last two seasons. You know, that's got to weigh on you. That's got to wear on you. And I think that it has for the large stretch of the season. And I think part of the peak, you know, part of the valleys that you've seen and the, you know, maybe volatility that you've seen from this team early in the year is a result of just how much and how much they've been through the last 2 years. Hmm. But I think they're getting to this point, this time of year where they're calloused, where they are, you know, they know what they're capable of doing. They flipped the switch last week and showed what they're able to do. I think this game means a little. I think they have the right perspective on what this game means. I don't think the speed of this game is going to scare them. I think they're going to be locked, and I think they're going to be focused. I think you're going to have the best week of practice you've seen from this team. Probably you're going to hear that from Andy. And I think the call sheet that Andy Reid puts out there is going to be an A-plus mm-hmm. script. So I think they've been waiting literally for the divisional round, like for 9, 10, 11 months. And so I think you're getting the best version of this team. And I think even the secondary players are guys locked in, ready, and are going to do the little things necessary and are going to protect the football and be mindful of it more than they have.
I think that's really interesting. I think I agree with all that. But it's also just a part of this that we have spent so many times it's felt like talking about, you know, sleepwalking or sloppiness or execution issues or whatever. And I feel like I need to be proven on the or to, I need it to be proven that that is a switch that can be flipped, that that's an adjustment that can be made. I think your line of logic holds there, though. We're Bills facing at this point, I guess, but with the explosion that we saw in the Steelers game, was there anything about that that surprised you, being able to actually see it just be rat-a-tat-tat domination in 10.5 minutes? Or was it a familiar friend that you hadn't seen in a little bit?
It's the latter. It was just, you know, just you saw the ceiling of this football team. They flashed it. They showed their teeth a little bit. And I don't want to say this season's been emotionless, because that's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's just that there has been different emotions, and that team started playing with some confidence, with some swagger, with some energy that you hadn't seen. They felt like the aggressor again. Mm. They felt like a team that kind of carried themselves, you know, with some, you know, invincibility to how they operate. And Mahomes was, you know, like one of the quotes we use on the show, Matt Lane uses it all the time. Mahomes was throwing from his chest, mm-hmm. throwing with confidence. And I think that bred confidence, and you saw how quickly things could really unravel for a team when this team's kind of peaking. So it was nice to see. It was one of the most fun 11 minutes of Chiefs football I've seen in a while, for sure.
Yeah. Is there something within all of that that can be repeatable, or was there anything that you saw, you know, either schematically or personnel-wise that is, because I think we've covered the emotion of it, but was there anything that you saw that you went, hey, that's a little bit different than these last few weeks, or that's repeatable for next weekend?
Oh, yeah. I think they set themselves up really well offensively for the Bills. I think, and I wrote about earlier this week on the Substack, they gave the Bills a ton to prepare for. Mm-hmm. They threw a lot of different looks, and maybe not necessarily a lot of different trick plays or anything like that, although they had some, mm-hmm. obviously. But Nick Allegretti was fourth in the progression.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they were trying to get it. It wasn't they were trying to sneak Nick Allegretti out the back of the formation, but they showed that he was capable of doing it. They showed that Travis Kelce doesn't always keep the ball on those, you know, those goal line runs. They showed a lot from under center this week, different than they have in the past. They put a lot on tape for the Bills to prepare for. So I think they're going to be able to build on top of all of that. They're going to force the, you know, like, stealing time is a phrase that people use all the time when they're preparation. You're trying to steal time from the other team, force them to prepare for different stuff. The Chiefs stole a lot of time this week. And I think Andy's got some logical progressions to the stuff that he's put on tape this week. I think he's I am anticipating an A-plus call sheet this year, or this week.
We're going to run out of real estate here a little bit in this segment, so go check out the whole piece up on the Substack, again, kcsn.substack.com. Give me one example of what a logical progression there could look like, and then I want to ask you about somebody that you wrote about. But what could one of those progressions look like, even if it's not super specific, just so we are thinking about it in the right way?
Sure. Let's just go ahead and we'll talk about the screen game a little bit, because, like, I think the Chiefs leaned a lot on the screen game this week. And we'll see if they're, gonna show a ton of that. But there's some builds on top of that. You can get into some of the middle screens that they like to use, where you're showing a pump screen, a pump fake to one side, a pump fake to the other, and then, dumping a ball in the middle of the field to a tight end or a running back. You could see that with Travis Kelce. You could see some of those fake, stock block screens where, you're going to get Byron Pringle kind of showing like he's going to block on the edge and then running a double move out of that. Because the Chiefs have shown a lot of screens. They showed a ton of screens this last week. And interestingly enough, I think the Chiefs leaned on the screen game a little bit last time, and it didn't go great against the Bills last time these two teams played. So, maybe the Bills are going to think they have some stuff sniffed out, and the Chiefs are going to pop something, over the top of them.
And then somebody that you wrote about in this piece is, of course, Jerick McKinnon. You wrote that he has some things that no one else in that running back room has. Tell me what makes Jerick McKinnon unique to what the Chiefs have in the running back room currently.
He's got more burst and speed. I mean, this is, I can't believe it. Someone I was talking to this week kind of talked about, Darrell Williams, and he's kind of got a little bit of Damien Williams.
Yeah.
But, some explosiveness, some speed, a guy that can, make some plays, to go from 5 yards to 15, a guy that can generate and churn explosive plays in the run in the pass game. And no offense to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's got some of the ability to do all the same things that Clyde Edwards-Helaire or that Jerick McKinnon does, but Jerick McKinnon has proven to have a little bit more juice on the edge. He's had a little bit more explosive. He's got fresh legs, and those things have really showed up the last couple weeks. I think you got to ride this guy. I think he's the one you got to kind of lean on, because he's been a kind of a revelation. I think he's made this offense a little bit more potent. The good thing is, though, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. You've got someone that's capable of doing the exact same stuff schematically, and that's going to be a problem for defenses, because both of those guys can execute basically everything else that the other one does, and that's a really big advantage for Andy Reid, too.
Do you have one more nomination for the name of the Russian tortoise?
No. I got caught on football. LaVon. How about LaVon?
I think that, would you want to be named after a tortoise if you're an athlete? I don't know. We'll think about it. How about Allegretti? We mentioned Nick Allegretti.
Ooh, that's a good one.
What are you cursing at, Rudy?
I said I was thinking the exact same thing.
Were you really? Unbelievable. Yep. Rudy and I have to stop telepathically linking. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, man. Hopefully after a Chiefs win.
Hopefully.
Yeah.